Well, you might notice if you pay attention to the screens that I'm not the fellow that's supposed to be preaching. I'm on another picture on some of the screens. But Brother Scott Cottle, our guest preacher for this morning, is in the hospital and battling a kidney stone. And so you pray for him, ask the Lord to bless him in a special way. His wife is over here. Miss Cassie spoke to the ladies yesterday and did such a wonderful job. And but he is over there, and she checked on him this morning, took care of him, and now she came to church. And so I told Brother Cottle, and he was in a good spirit before I said this. I said, "Well, the only," he said, "Well, my wife's going to come, and is that all right?" I said, "That's all right." I said, "But the only thing is, I don't want to hear after church saying, 'Boy, that's not as good as I was expecting.'" Nothing more depressing than a disappointed pastor's wife or preacher's wife. Well, you did the best you could with what you had. You're no Scott Cottle, but you did good. You did okay. So we are thankful for him coming our way, but I want you to be praying. He's over at the hospital. We trust that the Lord will just get the doctor, give doctors wisdom, and they've got a plan of action set forth. So we certainly want to pray for him. And it's what a wonderful time it's been. I know that all of you haven't been able to schedule-wise. We had a wonderful time on Thursday. He preached a phenomenal message. I challenge you to go back. Both were great. But Friday night, he preached a wonderful message. Oh, you just go on the archive. Just go back and view it from the date. And I challenge you to go back and listen to Brother Scott, watch Brother Scott Cottle's Friday night message. And I believe that God would do in your heart what he did in my heart. And just speaking about loving him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that needs to be the catalyst for loving them, all of the world, all of these flags and so many others. But please go back. It'll be a blessing to your heart. I know that. It has been a blessing to be with the missionaries. We got to spend some time with them yesterday in the evenings. It has disrupted some things around our house. I usually try to walk in the evenings, and sometimes it gets later than I want to when I'm trying to walk. But so I've been walking a lot of times at night, and I walk Victory Lane back to Margie Hale's house and all the way back to Shaddon. Once in a while, I get brave enough. If you live out that way, you know Shaddon gets it. It's the land of the quick and the dead. You know, it's kind of like, wow, boy, that's the way I don't want to end. I got to be quick to get off the road because there's no place to walk on the sides. I don't want to end up dead. So sometimes I walk on down, but usually just back and forth on Victory Lane and back and forth and try to get my time in. But I was out there the other night, and so sometimes while I'm walking, I'll check messages on my phone, emails, but the bad thing is it's dark already. Then you're looking at your phone instead of, like a teenager, I guess, you're looking at it instead of living, and then about run to a mailbox. Oh, excuse me, sorry. They never answer back. When they start answering back, I'm really going to be in trouble. But then I quit that for a while and put it in my pocket and just walk. But one of those nights, I was walking over toward Margie's house, which is this way, coming this way. And I was over toward Margie's house, and I was looking at something. And I saw a little cat just kind of lumbering across the street there, across the road. And I thought, boy, well, he ought to get home. And then I got a little closer, still looking at something. I said, man, that's a funny wobbling cat. Wasn't no cat. A little black cat kind of with a white stripe down its back. I thought, Lord, have mercy. This is going to be bad. I don't even know how I'm going to explain it, that I snuck up on this skunk. And so, boy, I just backed off, and I didn't want to run. I didn't want to startle him, that's for sure. And so I just backed off easy, and then I walked down the other way, and I didn't rest my walking toward Shaddon. And so I thought I was fine, but that little guy must live there, because a little guy, he's no little guy, he's a big guy, but I was past the Englands live two houses down from us, and right past theirs on the next house, then walking again, I saw same skunk, I guess, same one, walking across our street, walking up the people's driveway, our neighbor's driveway, in between their cars, right beside their sidewalk. I said, boy, if they ever came out for anything, they're a goner. But so if I ever come in and you don't want to be around me, then I understand that meant I got too close to our little neighborhood varmint. So you pray for me. I need to help. That's for sure. So I've been doing that later because of the missions conference. So I need to start doing it earlier because those little guys stay in their nest or wherever they care. I don't care where they stay as long as they don't get near me. So, well, I want to preach on this subject. I talked to Brother Cottle yesterday, and he gave me great warning. I knew, and so I came in last night, and I wanted to just give what I believe the Lord would have us to do. Some weeks ago, I preached from 3 John, but I went back and looked at that message, and it just seemed like the Lord brought me to 3 John, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. There's no chapters in John, 3 John, it's just one. So it's the one closest to Revelation than Jude, Revelation, so 3 John. While you're finding your place there in 3 John, I did hear this story about these folks that were in one of these senior citizens retirement communities, you know, and they all had their issues. And one of them was talking back and forth. I said, boy, I tell you, my arm's gotten so weak, I can hardly lift up my cup of coffee. The other said, well, said, my cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my cup of coffee hardly. I just feel around for it, and then I bring it up. And next one said, what was that? I couldn't hear you. You know, hearing was going. And the other one said, well, I've got such arthritis bad, I just can't even turn my neck. I just have to turn my whole body. And the other person across the table where they were talking with a stiff neck said, I know what that's like. The other one said, well, my memory is shot. I forget where I'm going. I forget where I'm supposed to be. And it's just bad and everything. And one of them says, well, it's just the price of getting old. And one person was going to try to bring a little bit of a bright spot to the whole conversation. They said, well, of all these things going wrong, here's something we can be thankful for. At least we can still drive. So you saw that person out there. I know, because you're laughing. You saw that person. But praise the Lord. We're looking at 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Can I stop right there and give you a little bit of the backstory? John writes to Gaius. God uses the Apostle John to write this little book, and he's writing and mentioning somebody by name Gaius. You see in verses 2, 3, and 4, the godliness of Gaius is brought forth there. He was such a person used of the Lord to put people forward in the ministry. And so John's writing to Gaius, and he's a child in the faith. And he says, Gaius, I tell you, you've made high marks. You're doing what God wants you to do. Verse number 6. We have borne witness of thy charity, which have borne witness of thy charity, talking about those brethren and the strangers in verse 5, which have borne witness to thy of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. In verse number 6, there's that phrase about in the middle, whom if thou bring forward on their journey. And I want to preach about that, bringing forward on their journey. As we get started, please don't forget, this is our Faith Promise Mission Sunday. And our preacher, Pastor Emeritus, Preacher Lassie, was so led of the Lord years ago to start this church on a trek. And that was to have a Faith Promise Missions program whereby we could support world missions. And you're here, if you're a guest, this is the first time. We don't typically preach this way, but on a specific Sunday, to try to get all of us challenged about doing something for world evangelism. The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and most of us don't leave very far from the house. I'd like to think I'd go wherever God wanted me to go, but I'm not. I'm not going to Scotland. I'm not going to Japan. I'm not going to some of these other places that these missionaries we have with us this weekend are going. So I feel a responsibility. If I'm not going to go there, then I should give some money toward the people who are. And that's the premise of Faith Promise Missions, going into all the world. We're supposed to go. You're responsible. I'm responsible for these people around that I work with and that I, well, the people I work with, Daniel and Dan, all those ones need the gospel. But I'm responsible for people I know. You are responsible. But there's areas that we won't go, but we're still responsible. And I believe that Faith Promise Missions cards, you got those, are a good indicator of how we're going to take that responsibility and go. And so because of that, we come to this Sunday where we're giving everybody opportunity to get engaged with reaching the world with the gospel. We care so much about the cross of Christ. We put it here in the front of our auditorium, the Lastly Auditorium, when we remodeled. But that's because I want everybody to be focused on the true meaning of this church being here, and that's to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not only true in Gray and Johnson City and Kingsport. It needs to be preached around the world. So with that being said, I want to preach about this message. He brought them forth on their journey. Now, in verse number 6, he says, they borne witness, which have borne witness of thy charity. Some of these people that talked about Gaius, they finally got around the Apostle John, and they said, John, you're never going to believe that guy. Your boy Gaius down there is really doing a good job. He's really getting the gospel out. He is helping us. He's helping other people as they go forward with the gospel. He is helping them on their journey. He's helping them get to where they need to be with the gospel. Now, Gaius is no slouch. You remember in 2 John, the apostle tells him there, says, don't you be fiddling with those false teachers. The Bible talks about not bidding Godspeed in 2 John to those people who are false proclaimers, who they don't believe in the scriptural, the Lord Jesus Christ as scripture portrays him. And that'd be true for us today. When somebody comes to your house and they're preaching a false gospel about not the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, the Bible says, don't bid them Godspeed, just get them on their way. And so this person tells John, he says, Gaius, he checked us out, but boy, when he found out we love Jesus Christ, he got us on our way. That's the backstory, the scenario. I want to give you the players from this little passage and then preach for a few moments. First of all, we see the player, the person on the board, like a board of game of life or something, that missionary is the first one. It's the missionary that's taking the gospel. He says, you, beloved, you faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. He said, they've borne witness of thy charity. But he says in verse number 7, because for his name's sake, they've gone forward. So the first player on this is the missionary. The second one is the need, because these folks had needs when they went somewhere. The people were coming through this little church, possibly where Gaius was. And Gaius knew that they were going on from there to go somewhere else. And Gaius wanted to help them on their journey, much like the McPikes who are going to Scotland. And they're going to, when they find themselves in UK and then over in Scotland, what they're going to find is every time they go to a store or to a market, those merchants are going to require something, money. And that's where we get to come in. We are able to help fund, not just us, but churches around. We are able to help fund the needs that they will have, because it's going to cost money just to live over there, just like it does here. So the second player on this board is the needs that the missionaries have. But the third player is this, me. Amy and I. God has so generously chosen to put money into our account. He supplies our needs. The great Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that we get to pastor, that I'm pastor of, he allows our sustenance to be met. He allows our needs to be met through this church, and it comes into our bank account. Now, here's what I'm supposed to do with that money. I pay some of it to Bright Ridge. I pay some of it to Eastman Credit Union for a mortgage. I pay some of it to Amazon. We must pay a lot to Amazon, because that truck is in our driveway a whole lot. I took a picture one time. I was coming home for lunch, and there was the Amazon van in our driveway, and I took a picture of it. I told Amy, that's going to be on our Christmas card. But all that comes into our house, I'm a steward of. We are stewards of what God puts in. It wasn't mine to begin with. I didn't come up with my salary here. I felt like God led me here. I didn't come with that. Some of the men of the church and the church votes on all those things. But that just comes in. But that wasn't mine before I got it. It's not mine now. I'm a steward of what God has set forth. And so the players are those missionaries, the needs, and then me. And so I realized that Amy and I, we are led of the Lord to put something into the missions program. And I challenge everybody to be along with us. We see that. I want to give you the practicality, though, this morning, if God would give me a help, of getting those missionaries on the field. Father, bless us now is our prayer, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see the need that's before us in verse number 6. I want you to see the need that's before us. The Bible says in the middle there that I already brought your attention to, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. The need before us is that the gospel missionaries, they need to go to the world. Can I give you some statistics from thegospelcoalition.org? There are 5.5 million full-time Christian workers in the world. 5.5 million full-time Christian workers, like me, pastors, evangelists, and all those. 5.5 million of those in the world. 75.9, almost 76% of those, work in a region, like America. They work in a region that is already the majority evangelical Christian. Can I let that sink in for just a minute? Almost 76% of all full-time workers work in an area that is already evangelized. That would be me. I'm a full-time Christian worker, and I work in America. I work here where the gospel is going around. Can I tell you this? 0.37%, less than 1%. of those 5.5 million full-time Christian workers work among the unreached. You say, what's an unreached, Pastor? Well, an unreached is, by definition, a group of people, a people group, a country, whatever, but a people group that is less than 2% evangelical Christian by name. So that means 98% something else. That means that those they have just a small little exposure to Christianity. Those are deemed unreached. So with that being said, go back to my statistic from gospelcoalition.org. Less than 1% of all those 5.5 million Christian full-time Christian workers, less than 1% of those are reaching, trying to reach the unreached people right now. It's enough to make a pastor in America feel like he should resign and go somewhere where the gospel isn't preached. Oswald J. Smith, a Canadian pastor from yesteryear, said this: we talk of the second coming when most of the world or half the world hasn't heard of the first coming. And so we've got the need to get the gospel out to the world. There are 6,740 some odd unreached people groups in the world, so statistics tell us. It's estimated that about 2,000 languages still don't have any Bible in written form in their language, according to David Peach Missionary Society. We understand that there's a great need before us because the gospel is the great news, the good news to all the world, but it's only good if it gets there. We see the need that's before us, but not only see the need before us in verse number 6, but I want you to see the benefit to us if we get engaged with it. The Bible says at the end of verse number 6, if you help them, forward them on their journey after a godly sort, according for God's sake, basically, thou shalt do well. So not only the need to do it, but the benefit to us if we do. Now, later on in that same chapter, that only book, verses 9, 10, 11, John, God uses him to get all over Diotrephes, because Diotrephes wanted to have the preeminence. You remember when we preached through that here some weeks ago, he wanted to have all kinds of preeminence and he wouldn't let people preach, and John gets all over Diotrephes, but boy, he brags on Gaius. And he bragged on Gaius because Gaius was used of the Lord to push people on their journey. They were gospel spreaders. We get lots of calls here at the church, and we get emails, and we get hard snail mail. We get all of it, of people that want us to get engaged with some sort of organization, maybe to feed the hungry, maybe to fight against the wickedness of abortion. We get all kinds of emails and calls and cards and things to help us get yoked up with one thing or another, and many of them great endeavors. But can I tell you what we strive to at the church? Every one of our missionaries we bring in, what we strive to at the church, every one of those ones that I bring forward to you, those are gospel preachers. Those are gospel spreaders. Those are ones that are going to take the message of Jesus Christ around the world. They may be going to help somebody clean up their water, but when they do that, they're going to give them the water of life. They may be somebody that's going to have clothing shelters, but when they do that, they're going to show them how to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They may give them feeding stations so they can feed their bellies, but after that they will feed their souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my friend, the missionaries that we want to support are those that are gospel spreaders, and that's what the apostle uses this word to tell to Gaius. He says the need was put out there, but God used you to be a blessing to gospel spreaders, and you're doing a good job, boy. The benefit to us. We lived in Middle Tennessee, you know, and we, close to our house was a section of highway, Veterans Parkway, and this one section was Talmage B. Gilley section, either a bridge or a section of the road there. They honored this veteran. He was a friend of ours. I'm very close with some of his kids and grandkids, and he was a wonderful patriot, but he's also a good church member. He went to our church, but he was part of the old guard when he was in the Navy. He guarded the tomb of the unknown soldier. Every year that we would go to Washington, D.C. with juniors from our Christian school, he would write us a note to whoever the tomb guard was that was changing there, and that those tomb guards would take us back and talk to us individually, because that camaraderie that the old guard, the tomb guards, had. They honored him by naming that section of road there Talmage B. Gilley. We know what it's like to be honored. And what gets Gaius honored before the Lord and honored for all of the history being recorded in Scripture is that he gets to help missionaries along the way. When I was in school, they used to have these little cards, middle school, elementary school, they used to have these little cards, and on there it looked like an old green chalkboard with a chalk font, and it said, someone was caught doing good. And what those teachers would do, they would send that to you. You can imagine, I got a lot of them. They would send that to your parents. And to contrast, when you get a call from your teacher, you don't ever want to get that. Well, we got a problem. And so these teachers were gotten together. They said, well, we're going to start giving good commendations instead of just waiting until they do bad. Mom had so many of those. I tell you, I didn't know what to do with all of them. But now I don't know if she had all many, but I did see one. And boy, I liked that one. It is good to get commended. What about Matthew chapter 25? The Bible says, and you'd hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Somebody said it like this, it seems unfair that anybody would hear the gospel twice before everybody heard it once. And you understand there's millions and millions of people, billions actually, that have never heard a clear presentation of what you and I take for granted, the gospel message. I mean, we teach it in our classes, we teach it in Bible school, we teach it on the bus, we teach it in here, we teach it everywhere. We could recite it. And you say, I might stumble over it. Yeah, but you'd get the basics of it. You would know how to tell somebody, this is what Jesus came to do. But over half the world has never heard the story of salvation. Maybe they've heard Jesus, his name, on some publication somewhere, but to know who he is, they would certainly not have that luxury. Oh, how I want to please him. And I believe that our church is engaged in one of the most exciting ways that we get to please him, and that is because we get to put our money, as the one old saying says, where our mouth is. We said that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and we're having the great privilege and opportunity to start sending more and more missionaries around the world. I see the benefit to us where he says, thou shalt do well. But I want you to see not only the need and the benefit, but I want to give you the last one. In verse number 7, I want you to see the cause that we are helping. The cause that we are helping, because it says in verse number 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth. Don't you want to be involved in something bigger than you? I want to be involved in something so big that John couldn't take care of it. I want to be involved with something so big that me and you and a few other of our friends, we couldn't do it. I want to be involved in something so big that it has to be for God's glory and he has to be empowering it. Don't you want to invest in eternity and see people that would come to know Jesus Christ? If Bobby Brown, one of our deacons and as a banker, if he would tell you today, he's got an investment idea that will give you 100% return with no risk. You can't imagine. There's no possibility that you'll get a damage to your money. What would you say? You'd pull your glasses and say, Bobby, I don't believe you. But if you knew it was true, then you'd say, sign me up. You'd say, I'll take part of that. Well, I want to bring you to this. The Bible talks about us not investing in things of this world, although we are supposed to. You're supposed to take care. The Bible talks about leaving inheritance to your children, your children's children. We're all supposed to do that. But I also know we're also supposed to be investing in eternity. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. A friend of mine was trying to get all he could to get people investing in this one little company that he was trying to put forth. It had some technology in it and all that. Can I tell you? We didn't invest. We didn't have any extra to do right then, but it's a good thing because now that product that he was trying so desperately to sell doesn't exist. But what I know does exist, as you go down our missions hallway here, Mike Sisson's a wonderful missionary in the Philippines. What does exist still are the souls that have been saved at that last church that he planted. And so I'm not so sure, and I want you to invest in retirement accounts, 401ks, Roths, all of those things, because you have responsibility to care for your family. And I love mission boards. You know, I serve with BIMI, and they make sure their missionaries are putting into retirement. That's good planning. But while we're investing in some things to protect us in our later years, let's not forget to invest in heaven. I hate to bring it up again, but I will. Preacher Lassie did our church such a favor years ago when he instituted this, because he gave all of us an easy opportunity to put money into missions that go around the world. I think about the cause that we're helping, because it says in verse number 7, because for his name's sake, every missionary that we have, everyone, we vet them. I call their pastor, and I call the mission board, and I call anybody that I can find out about them. Every one of them, we're certain that they're going to take the name of Christ, faithfully proclaim it around this world. I believe that God would have all of us to get involved with missionaries. I believe that those missionaries in verse number 7, I believe they were going to get to where they were going with or without Gaius's help. But God gave Gaius the opportunity to get in on a good deal. I believe our missionaries this week, they're going to get to the field. I just want us as a church to be a part of helping them. The beauty was that Gaius got to get in board, because those missionaries then are doing the same thing as these missionaries now. They were going for his namesake. Can I take just a moment to tell you what that namesake was? That means they were going in the name of Jesus Christ. And what every one of our missionaries are involved in is proclaiming the message that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, left heaven's glory and came to this earth, lived 33 homesick years on this earth, and then died on an old rugged cross, was buried 3 days, and rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. That's the gospel right there in a nutshell. And that's the message that these missionaries will be proclaiming as we send them out. And maybe you're here today, and that gospel in a nutshell hasn't really ever affected you to the point where you received Christ as your Savior. You believed on Him that He was who He said He was. Oh, you've known about Him. You may be even a church member. But you've never put your trust, your belief, and your dependence on Jesus as the only hope of heaven. My friend, we don't have to send somebody around the world to do that. You can be saved right now. The same message is needed by you, is needed by somebody in Scotland, is needed by somebody in Japan. And if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, today is the day that you ought to put your belief, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, I, for my family, and you're, and I'm advising yours, I want to get involved in a greater way. Amy and I, we prayed about it. We're going to increase ours because God's been good to us. He's increased our income. I want to increase what we put into missions. We want to be in on what God's doing. There's a missionary that we have going back to a restricted country here just in the next week or so. And I'm so thankful that Bert faithfully sends his check to help supply the needs for him as he goes to that unnamed country. And my friend, I'd love for you to get engaged with that as well, because I believe that we can be blessed like Gaius was by bringing these missionaries further onto their journey. And if you're here and the Lord is moving on your heart, why don't you just support? You say, how much? That's it between you and the Lord. But I believe that all of us ought to be engaged so we can personally be part of the missions program of the gospel getting around the world. And if you're here today and you're not saved, the gospel doesn't only need to go around the world, it needs to go to your heart. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, I trust that you would do business with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads if you're, as you sit there and as the ladies come to play something through? And before they play, let me just ask you this. As a Christian, wouldn't it seem only reasonable and biblical to be engaged in missions where you could help the gospel go where you aren't going? That's really what missions is. And you could know that while we're sleeping, our missionaries are ministering. While we're doing this, that, or the other, our missionaries are getting something started around the world. And I trust that you would. But if you're here also and you're unsaved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you today, let today be the day that you receive Christ as your Savior? Oh, my friend, you need it. You need Him. And I pray you'd be saved. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need is, when we stand, I'm going to ask you just to come, present yourself to the church if that's what God has led you to do, and don't hold back. Follow the Lord, would you please? Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to, and as they begin to play, Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Then would you please slip out and come and just do business with the Lord. Let's not let the day slip away before you do what the Lord would lead you to do. Is there some spiritual decision in your heart you need to make? What do you think has been causing that? Asked my dad one time about something I was thinking about doing. He said, well, John, I don't think the devil will be leading you to do that, do you? And I said, no, I don't guess so. Let's be faithful to do what God leads us to do. If you don't mind, look up this way, and I'm just going to ask you to be seated right there where you are. And here's how I'd like to proceed. Everybody should have, as they just continue to play through, everybody should have one of these Faith Promise Missions cards. And this one portion tears right off there. It's got a spot for you to put on there how much God has led you or your family to give for a weekly amount. This is a weekly amount. Amy and I don't give every week. We give every other week, but we just divide it and put it on there. But however, clearly mark it how it wants to be. If you're just going to give a one-time gift, just mark it on there, one-time gift. And but if you can, just put it on there weekly. And then this is what we can tally up here in just a little bit. You say, oh, it kind of seems strange. It's nothing strange. There's no name on the back of this. We're going to receive these in just a minute. There's no name on the back of there. There's no phone number. We don't call, email, or get a hold of you. This other part on here gives you something to put in your Bible or put at home and allows you to put on there how much I want to give per week. And it's not only just to remind you. I don't think you need reminded. I think what it reminds us to pray. And I believe that the Lord would be pleased with what we can do. I would tell you this, that during the first service, 8:30, we received cards, and we have already received Faith Promise cards up a little over $48,000 for this next year, and so I'm so thankful for that. But I'm going to ask the ladies to play something through, and the men are going to come forward. If you've already filled that out or you're filling it out now, if you don't mind, just tear that white part off, fold it over with that amount, and as they come forward, men, why don't you come on down? And as these ladies sing, they'll take those cards and bring them up to our talliers, and we'll give you a report here in just a few moments. Thank you. This morning, I was